We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Joe's here, Ray's here. So, Joe, what are we doing here?
What we're going to do right now is we're going to talk about the Democratic town hall that was held yesterday to talk about the transportation plan. One of the legislators who kind of came up with the event, the state senator from the 26th district, Will Haskell, represents Reading, Ridgefield, Wilton, parts of Bethel, Weston, Westport, New Canaan. You know, it'd be district. Easier, Will, to say where you don't represent.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way sometimes.
Than where you do.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's good to
You're
have
welcome.
You on. Give us, obviously we weren't there, give us a little background on the crowd, the mood of the crowd. How'd you think the event went?
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to give a quick recap for those who weren't able to make it. You know, we had about 400 people there, obviously diverse opinions. This is a controversial topic, and I understand that. It's why I decided to host this forum and why I asked Governor Lamont to come down to Fairfield County. You know, I was just listening to the traffic report, and it seems like that's an evergreen report, that there's a backup on 95 going south, both on the and also on the Merritt until you hit New Canaan. The reason that we decided to have this forum is because my constituents down in Fairfield County, they feel failed by this state and left behind when it comes to transportation policy.
Senator,
I keep on my desk in the Senate chamber a timetable of Metro North from 1963, and the train was faster back then than it was today. We're literally moving in the wrong direction here.
Senator, the one thing, and I've talked to Governor Lamont, he was in here with us, he'll be in next month, but I mean, the one thing is, what do you do with 95? You're going to have to widen the thing, and I'm just thinking getting a right-of-way could be a tough little project there.
Yeah, so Commissioner Joe Giletti really has a strong understanding of the choke points that back up 95 for miles and miles and miles. There's some amazing statistics out there about of the 20 worst choke points in Connecticut. It's astonishing how many of the 20 worst choke points in the country, I believe over 10 are in Connecticut. And I don't have exactly which ones are in front of me, but he's pretty confident that between New Haven and the New York border, we can shave off 15 minutes for commuters every day. And of course, that might not sound like a lot, but when you add up the numbers, it means hours and hours a week that commuters get to spend with their family or at their desk, just simply being more efficient. And frankly, you know, what I wanted voters to walk away from yesterday, constituents who come in from this issue from all political sides, is the knowledge that every other state on the East Coast asks trucking companies to contribute through tolls. This isn't a Republican idea or a Democratic idea. It's a tried and true idea that every other state is already doing, and Connecticut is leaving money on the table.
How do you assure skeptical voters that once the gantries are up, if they get up, they won't be converted to cars and tolls will not go up?
I'm very sympathetic to that fear, and I was completely honest with the folks in the crowd last night. I was one of those legislators who wanted a more comprehensive, more aggressive tolling plan, but the reality is the votes simply aren't there. And in this legislation that we're passing, it would simply not be permitted for an unelected official at the Department of Transportation to flip a switch and start tolling passenger vehicles. If the legislature wants to do that, they're going to have to come back into session in a future, God knows it'll have to be a future legislature because there aren't enough votes in this one, and they would have to actually vote on it. So it's an entirely separate issue, and we're trying to really focus the conversation on it's really only the heaviest trucks, Class 8 trucks and above. So if you picture the small business vehicle that uses our roads pretty frequently or the oil truck that comes to heat your home, those are not subject to the tolling plan. We're talking about the very heaviest 18-wheelers.
Here's the one thing. As a matter of fact, Chris Keating in The Current this morning is reporting that you guys apparently got a draft, working draft, which can change, 15 pages. But apparently, granted, you can't spread it to, you can't increase the coverage by moving it to cars, but the Transportation Department, I'm quoting from the article, would have the authority to increase tolls by the inflation rate or National Highway Construction Index. So I guess apparently the DOT can increase the fares, but not necessarily expand them.
Right. My understanding of the most recent draft is that it would be capped so that increases can be no greater than the inflation rate.
Right, exactly.
Also,
sure.
It could never exceed $15. Now, this is actually pretty modest when you take into account that it costs more than $100 for a truck that's fully loaded to cross the GW Bridge. One amazing statistic to me is that if that fully loaded truck at the maximum federal capacity of 80,000 pounds, it does the equivalent damage, the equivalent wear and tear of 9,600 passenger vehicles. So if anybody should be contributing to the upkeep of our roads, I think it's these big, heavy trucks.
What was the of the crowd that was there yesterday, Senator? How many were against tolls? We know that they decided not to go to the event as much as they had planned because they went to Colchester to campaign for the Republican who's trying to take a Democratic seat there. But what was the negative feedback yesterday?
You know, it's hard to say the exact breakdown because we took as many questions as the time allowed for, but we didn't get to hear from everybody. I would say of the questions we took, it was about 70-30 in favor of some sort of tolling proposal. You know, my favorite conversation, though, came from a gentleman who opposed tolls, and I was so grateful that he came. I regularly hold these town halls, and I always learn from my constituents, and I try to really engage with those who might not share the same opinion. He said that he's concerned with this tolling plan because Connecticut residents are going to end up paying. And my pushback was, you know, with all due respect, Connecticut residents already are paying. Unlike in other states, we as taxpayers in this state bear the full brunt of funding our infrastructure. We don't ask trucking companies and we don't ask out-of-state drivers to contribute to the upkeep of our roads. So, you know, if we don't do tolls, I understand that there's a legitimate pushback against it. What I asked from my constituents and from my colleagues who were there who disagreed with me is I want to know what they'd like to do instead. I don't want to increase taxes. My constituents are looking for fiscal responsibility and stability, and I don't want to enter into additional debt because that saddles the next generation with not only every dollar that we spend, but also the interest that accumulates.
Here, kids, this is for you. Will Haskell's with us, Deputy President pro tempore of the Connecticut State Senate town hall last night in Westport. What was the passion level? Because when we do this on the radio, take calls. I mean, there's some people that are really, really passionately against this. And I think on the other side, it's the same way, saying it's necessary. We've got to do it. Was it a civil meeting, Senator?
The governor did a really great job of setting a civil and respectful tone, and I was so grateful for that. You know, I'm brand new to the legislature, and I could have never guessed that transportation politics, not exactly the most sexy thing in the world, would incite such passion in my constituents. But I think the reality is when you are sitting on a train that is slower today than it was in 1950, when you're stuck in traffic for an hour just to get from Westport down to Stamford in the morning, it excites real passion in people. And also, my constituents pay tolls in a lot of other states, so I think there's that bubbling frustration. If you commute to Manhattan every day, you probably pay tolls into New York State, and nobody is paying it. You watch drivers get a free ride through Connecticut. So I understand there's a lot of passion here, but I thought it was a really civil meeting, and I was grateful that the moderator also made sure everybody had an opportunity to ask a question, but that nobody had an opportunity to make a long political speech. We tried to keep it policy-focused.
Are you confident this will get passed before you go back into session?
I feel really strongly that we've got to get it done in a special session and separate this issue from the regular session, which starts in February. Transportation funding is at a crisis. 332 bridges are considered structurally deficient. And one thing that just amazes me, Transportation Commissioner Gilletti said last night that we need to spend $15.6 billion over the next decade just to maintain a state of good repair. That's just to make sure that the bridges don't collapse. So I really do view this as a crisis, and I think it warrants a special session. In terms of the timing of a vote, you know, I wanted one yesterday.
Right.
So I hope that it's tomorrow, but that's above my pay grade.
Georgetown guy, Patrick Ewing, the coach for the future?
I think so. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. Senator, thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate the time this morning.
Talk again.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Senator Will Haskell, 23 years old.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.